Did a trip to the Post Sports Bar and Grill. During every Thursday and Friday Blues game, stop by any Post location for your chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Blues game. The Post Sports Bar welcomes you with amazing home team specials, including $3.75 22-ounce domestic drafts and wells during every Blues game. This season, show up in your Blues gear and save 10% off regular priced menu items. The Post Sports Bar and Grill. Stay posted, my friends.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. How often do you sit up at night wondering how you're going to pay the bills? There's only so much money coming in, and by the end of the month, there's just nothing left. And it's not your fault. The credit card companies spend millions of dollars a year trying to figure out ways to keep you further in debt. What if I told you the solution to all these problems was only 5 minutes away? Get the cash you need and pay off your credit cards once and for all at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven in a beautiful dining room with the service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs. Then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital. During the holidays, think of Spiro's for catering and your corporate and private party needs. Daytime bookings are available.
Denise here from Appliance Discounters. Let's talk GE Appliances. First of all, what do you prefer? Professional and European? Restaurant-inspired? Modern with clean lines? Now you can choose any inspiration with the GE product line, as well as a variety of finishes like stainless steel, black stainless, slate, and black slate, and they're all on display at any of the Appliance Discounters locations. As always, get them for the lowest price and with rebates up to $1,500 on select packages. Shop the locally owned Appliance Discounters with 6 showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
Hi everyone, Iggy here to tell you about the fine folks down at Bertarelli.
Now hold on, Iggy. Not trying to interrupt here, but I'm doing Bertarelli cutlery.
Well, you just did interrupt me as always.
Well, you know what? Whatever.
You have the address there?
I do. If you let me finish, Bertarelli Cutlery, 1927 Marconi Avenue on the Hill to get your knives, scissors, and garden tools sharpened. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives. Bertarelli Cutlery, they never interrupt you like Iggy does.
Time to hit the road. Why not an RV? Wireley's monthly RV school is a non-selling opportunity to learn about operations, use, and maintenance of RVs. And renting an RV can also be an enjoyable learning adventure. Reputation, experience of the selling dealer are also important. We are Wireley, a local, family, employee-owned RV dealer. Check us out at ByerleyRV.com, Eureka, Missouri.
I asked Limestone to pull this song and play it, and I think I've changed my mind about this segment we're going to try about personal favorites in music. But you can crank it up a little bit. Turn it up.
Who's going to tell you when?
I've always liked this song. I have no idea what it means, like so many other songs by the Cars. It's called Drive. So what I thought I'd do is this. Tim Woodburn, do you have a music library on your phone or somewhere that you go to, your own personal favorites?
I do.
Dan, do you? Dan Strout.
Dan is taking some calls.
Of course he is.
I'm on the phone. Hang on.
No, you're always on the phone.
I know.
Can you answer a question when they get back to the phone? Do you have a music library somewhere on your phone or somewhere, a collection of music you like?
No, I don't.
You're a musician.
I know.
All right, then you're out. We'll limit it to me, Tim, and Limey, and we'll see how this goes. Every day we'll play like 20, 30 seconds of a song, but it has to be a song that you really like. Either you just discovered it or you've liked it forever. We'll see how it goes. Cars, Drive by the Cars, is one of the things that has been in my personal little collection of records, even back when I had an actual little iPod. And that all it was just an iPod. It was the size of a domino. Remember those things, little bitty ones?
Oh, yeah.
And there was no readout or anything on it. It was just pause and play and, skip forward and skip backward. And so that's what we'll do. We'll play a little bit of a song from Limey's collection of favorites and from Tim's and from mine, and we'll see if that interests anybody, and if it doesn't, we'll stop doing it. It's that easy.
They played live in Columbia when I went to Mizzou, and I went to the concert.
Cars?
Mm-hmm. And I went to the concert. I had about 10th row on the floor where you had to stand the whole time, and Rick Ocasek, the lead singer, was dating Paulina Porizkova at the time, who was a Sports Illustrated Ooh. Swimsuit cover model.
I know.
That's a double boing, Limey. And she was at the concert, and she stood right in front of me for 3 hours.
Ooh,
nice.
Oh, man. I didn't see the
show. How did you not have to run home and take a cold shower?
I didn't even see the show. I just
I'll bet you didn't. So we'll do it. And maybe, I don't know what it'll accomplish. Maybe insight into other people's musical tastes. Not that that tells you anything about anybody, because it really doesn't. But I am interested in what other people like. And I got a feeling that most of what Tim is going to have in his little collection and Limey in his, I most of it I probably won't even know. But hey, I'll learn something. What?
I was going to say mine. I don't have any musical collection because I'll just go to either YouTube or if I have a CD in my car or something like that, and I want to hear certain music or whatever. I just do that. Otherwise, I don't have a certain collection of music.
Well, you're out of the segment. Okay, the segment is only for people who have a music collection of some sort accessible. You're out. Sorry.
Oh, I have one that you might like too. It's from
Dan. I'm sure you have like 30 songs I might like that you could come up with. What is it?
It's hold on here. I'm waiting for an ad to go by.
That's great.
Here we go.
That's good radio.
There. This is Wishbone Ash from back in the 1970s. One of my all time favorite bands. From
you're still out of the segment.
Oh, well, Wishbone Ash is out of the UK. But they're an awesome band and one of my favorite bands besides Yes. And they're going to start singing here in a second.
I think I was tired of it in 15 seconds.
You were?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Trying to sound like Crosby, Stills, and Nash a little bit.
I don't know.
I don't like it.
Yeah, you don't?
No.
Well.
Now you're really out of the segment. Yeah. No, you're out. I'm sorry.
Play some other stuff that I like.
No, you can't. You're out of the segment. Theme music for Mr. Buffa, if you would, please.
Did not have
if
that
you would
ready.
Please.
Did not have
if you
that
would
ready.
Please.
There you go.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Stop the theme. I have an idea. Since up to that, the show was almost perfect, except for twice when Limey fell asleep. Let's just edit that out and do it over. It just sounded horrible. Edit.
Radio edit.
Let's all
I have to say, we're going to edit the part where I said, okay, let's get Mr. Buff in here. Theme music, please.
Oh, my bad.
That's where we brought to that edit. Do it again. Edit it out.
Radio edit.
All right, he's out of the green room. Time to bring Mr. There he is, right down the hall. Bring Mr. Dan Buff in here.
Let's
theme music,
all
please.
Go to the lobby.
There you go. See, that's how you do it.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Well, it's time to talk a little movie talk. Treat. I told you that over the weekend, my wife and I saw a couple of great movies, Bohemian Rhapsody, and, oh, my goodness, I'm losing my mind. Hang on. Beautiful Boy with Steve Carell. I got another couple that I want to see, and then shared a couple of documentaries with you. And I understand that when something's on Amazon or Netflix, a lot of people are, you know, SOL or whatever. But, hey, there's a lot of stuff out there in different places, and what you can grab, you grab. There's plenty for everybody. And now, courtesy of Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States and the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. You can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com. Here is Dan Buffa.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing?
Oh, Dan, we're having a great day. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. And speaking of one of the movies you just mentioned, I watched that mere hours ago.
Which one?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
I'm very interested in what you have to say. I said my piece already, and let's just start there. What'd you think?
This, and of course, before saying, you really have to, the history of how this movie was made, there's two directors. So Bryan Singer directed the majority of it, but then he was fired mid-production, and Dexter Fletcher was brought in to finish the film. And this movie has split people down the middle. There's people, the hardcore Queen fans think, and it does get some stuff wrong and moves stuff around, but every true story told in a movie does that, so I didn't mind that. And any of the people that just enjoyed it, I really enjoyed it. I watched it today. I've never been a real big fan of Queen. I know their music, but this movie kind of made me want to go out and get their music again. It really energizes their catalog of music. And Rami Malek, who people may know from Mr. Robot on TV and a few films, he is sensational as Freddie Mercury. I mean, if Freddie was alive and you can watch this performance, he'd go, wow. He
would say, well done. He'd sign off on it.
He would. And the biggest problem people have is that the part of his life that they chose to show, how he was a young, living with his family, and he was hauling bags at the airport, and he meets the band, and they you know, run to success. I kind of like the way they showed it. I don't know. It was kind of, you know, enlivening. It made a person like me who didn't know his story that well. I knew about the life Aid concert in 1985, which over a billion people watched at Wembley Stadium. I mean, and they recreate this scene. That's probably the highlight for me, Frank. I don't know if that's for you. Where they, and it's the end of the movie. That's kind of the bookend of the movie. They really brought that scene back in this film.
Well, they recreate Queen's entire performance on the. It's like you're at the concert.
It is.
It's like going to a movie / concert. But here. Here's what's interesting about what you said, that it sort of re-energized their catalog. I didn't have, we're talking about our personal library, my phone, my 860 songs or whatever, there was not one Queen song. I now have six. As soon as I got out of that movie and got home, I downloaded six Queen songs because that movie fired me up and renewed whatever interest I had in Queen or whatever I liked about their music, and now I know a whole lot more. And as far as the Live Aid thing, go on YouTube and take a look at the actual, you can find footage of behind the scenes, how they staged it, how they set it, how they made a scale. I mean, Wembley Stadium, Junior Wembley Stadium. You can't tell it. When you look at the crowd, that crowd was 70,000 people in 1986.
A lot of people.
To shoot the movie, they used 20,000 people and then a computer to multiply the crowd. So it makes the crowd look bigger than it is. But just the fact that they had 20,000 people, I mean, it's a lot of people. And then you add to that the fact that through the movie, you're hearing one of three voices. You're either hearing Freddie Mercury or Rami Malek, or a guy named Mark Martel from Canada, who is the dead-on, absolute, identical voice to Freddie Mercury. And this guy is beyond belief. He's a Canadian Christian singer. And he's the guy who, hands down, when they heard him, went, okay, you're doing some of the vocals for the movie. Because you can't. I went on YouTube and watched somebody put together a mix. And they took Freddie Mercury and Mark Martel back forth. You cannot tell when it changes.
You cannot.
He's that good.
And really, a lot of the songs, there were a couple songs, and I may be embarrassed to tell my dad this, because he's a big music guy, that I forgot they did. Like, when they start humming it in the studio, and they're kind of starting to bring it together. Like, I know Another One Bites the Dust, that was them. But there's a couple where they're going, and of course, they always run into problems. The band constantly fought because it was kind of like Freddie Mercury and the other three guys. And then they try to be one. But for me, when they come upon the concept of "We Will Rock You," that's a great sequence where they're all just stomping their feet. And he tells them, imagine everybody in the audience, in the crowd doing this. And then they go right to that show. And the live sequences where they're singing and they're playing, they're so well done. And look, in order to tell this part of the story, they don't really get into his sexuality. They don't really get into, you know, his first wife and how he, you know, became more, liked men a little bit more later in his life. They don't get it. They can't really get into that. And that's kind of gotten some backlash.
I've stopped you for a second. Because I think it's important what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I actually was afraid that when I go to see this, it's going to be real heavy on the HIV thing and drug use and some seedy back alley stuff. None of that. None of that. It's clear that he's diagnosed and he's sick, but they do not dwell on that at all. It's really about the music.
It is, and really, they actually put that into the movie. Really, he wasn't diagnosed till 89, but they wanted to put that in towards the end in front of that Live Aid concert. But yeah, you know that he's kind of dying of something. He's sick and he doesn't have a lot of time left. But I agree. I think if you're going to make a movie about Queen, if you want the whole story, go watch the documentary, read a book. I want to see them on stage. I want to see how those songs came to be. That's what I went in there looking for. And maybe that's because that's why I liked it. Other people kind of thought it was okay. I got a kick out of it, but I think it's the fact that I wasn't a huge Queen fan. I wasn't kind of addicted to their music that it kind of made me appreciate the film more in a kind of a weird way.
Okay. He became Freddie Mercury to me the same way that I always use this example, the same way Jamie Foxx became Ray Charles. I mean,
oh yeah, sensational.
You forgot who you were looking at. You forgot you were not watching Freddie Mercury. Just like when I watched Ray, I thought that's Ray Charles.
No, or even like when Val Kilmer played Jim Morrison in Oliver Stone's The Doors.
Good example.
And Val Kilmer was kind of a star around that time, and you know, he was in a lot of stuff, so for him to disappear into that role, but I don't know, this movie, I think he's going to get nominated. I think as far as giving a performance, not just like duplicating the way he walked or, you know, the way he performed on stage, but even the more quieter parts of his life, because let's be honest, I mean, he was kind of a black sheep when it came to, you know, him in the world and where he belonged. He was an outsider of some sort, so I think he nailed that, and I think that his performance and the concert sequences, they deliver, which makes the movie, for me, worth watching.
Well, this is one of those movies that after I went home and I started digging, I wanted to go right back and see it again because now I know things I didn't know when I saw it the first time. For example, that scene where it's Live Aid 1986, and what you watch is they replicate the Queen's performance at Live Aid, the whole performance. So it's a big chunk. But then you find out that the day they shot that, they rehearsed that entire set, everything they did on stage, they did it three times completely prior to shooting. He said he was exhausted by the time they were ready to roll because they'd done it three times.
And the cool part is where he goes AO to the crowd. He kind of calls out the crowd. That's a great sequence. Even if you're there in the theater, I think even if you're not even a fan of the band, you'll get a kick out of that sequence. And like you said, they show the whole 20 minutes. I mean, it is the last part of the movie, and it's very well done. So I'll give that a solid 3 due to Rami Malek's performance and the music. I'll give it a solid 3. Definitely worth seeing for even the non-Queen fan.
Yeah, I'll give it 3. I agree. All right. And I'm with you. There were songs that I'd forgotten they did. I knew the songs, but oh, that was Queen. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Three ARDs. Here they come.
All right, Dean.
Nice slip there.
So I have gone
on. I only heard two.
Yeah, there's kind of like two in one, so let me just.
All right, Dean.
There we go. No. You can't edit it out. Before. You can't just redo it. You have to edit it out.
All right.
I'll hear the mistake.
Let me just radio that out.
Radio edit.
This is where you do it again.
All right, Dean.
There we go.
We're seeing. Right, now, the second film I have, now I want to go on record, and people who have listened to me in this show for the last year will know that I do not like, for the most part, Melissa McCarthy. When she's in a movie, I just immediately think, okay, this movie.
So you hate fat people?
Well, I don't like people, ones that rely on it for fat comedy who are not funny, and try to do it in countless movies. Yes, I do not like that small group of people, and Melissa McCarthy is in it. And going into this film, if she's in it, I immediately think, nah, this is going to be a bad movie. But in the new film she's in,
What's the name of it?
Can You Ever Forgive Me? And it's a true story. And I will tell you, I went into it, again, not really wanting to see it, but I left thinking that she might be nominated for an Academy Award. Because she plays, it's a true story. She plays Lee Israel, who back in the 70s forged letters that were written by Katharine Hepburn and up the...
Katharine Hepburn, did you recognize it?
I interviewed her.
Uh-oh.
I interviewed her.
When?
And well, this was a long time, obviously, before she died.
Okay.
And this movie, why did you refer to Katharine Hepburn with regard
to
this movie?
Her letter that she wrote, Lee Israel, this novelist who kind of runs into a rut, finds her letter and forges it and kind of gives it and sells it to a bookstore. This is how she made her claim to fame, this novelist. She sold letters written by other people. She'd rewrite them from famous people. They go, oh, man, a Katharine Hepburn letter. And then she'd sell it.
Okay, then that explains why she was mad when I talked. I didn't really get it in my interview.
She was mad. Yeah, she was supposed to be mad.
Yeah, I'll play you the part where I had said, Ms. Hepburn, you seem like you're not in a very good mood. What's that all about? And well, here's what she said. Yeah, damn right, I'm not in a good mood. I found out that someone was forging letters that I didn't write, and it makes me damn upset.
Wow. Sounded like a transgender Catholic.
That was tough.
Well, she was ill. She had cold that day.
Yeah, that was towards
fever.
The end.
She had a fever.
Packing something that day.
But I said to her, I said, you don't sound like yourself. You almost sound like a transgender person.
Yeah.
And she said, here's what she said. Well, how dare you? I am not transgender. I have a temperature of 103 degrees, mister.
Wow.
Yeah, really blunt. She was always very blunt.
It's a good thing you got out of there. She had a temperature of 103.
I still think she peed standing up that day.
Mm-mm.
wasn't it conclusive that, I mean, she was bisexual? Katharine Hepburn?
I think so towards the end.
Towards the end.
Oh, with a voice like that, I'd have to buy sex, too.
Hey-oh! Oh, man. So this movie, where she forges her way back into, like, relevance, essentially. She wrote a couple novels, Lee Israel, that were New York Times bestseller list, but then she's fallen out of touch. So in order to get her name back in the news, she finds these letters and she sells them off. And she, you know, she'll add a little bit to the letters and she'll rewrite them. And
where did she find the letters to begin with?
She found them in a bookstore. She bought a book, and in the book, she found this folded up letter. I guess it was left there, you know, sent off to a bookstore. Kind of mistakenly, maybe, and she finds one. Then she goes looking for other ones, and she, you know, she's a good writer, but she's just one of those ones that, you know, you can't sell her books anymore. Her books are now on the 75% off list instead of the New York Times bestseller list. So she finds relevance, and she starts making money by doing this. And of course, the movie plays out accordingly. You know, she's going to get caught because, you know, you can't do this forever. Eventually, you will. But the thing about the movie is Melissa McCarthy does not do what she usually does. She doesn't rely on the usual humor and the jokes, kind of like she did in St. Vincent with Bill Murray.
Yes.
She gives
yes.
a real performance because she makes you feel sorry for this woman, even though she did this to herself as far as forging these letters, basically forging your way back into a career. And the movie is based off her memoir, Can You Ever Forgive Me? Because she eventually wrote a book about what she did. And again, it's a small movie. I mean,
is she still alive, Lee Israel?
She is not. She passed away recently. I want to say three or four years ago. And again, she didn't. You know, she writes the memoir, and it's a small but very good movie. And it's highlighted by a great McCarthy performance. And I wouldn't think I'd say this. If she was the star of a movie, I think I'd be panning it or telling you to stay away from it. But in this one, she really finds a groove. For some reason, playing a woman who, when at her wit's end to make money, again, I mean, she was living in an apartment. She couldn't pay her rent. She had bills. She had a couple cats. She's a cat lady. and she had to do something. She ended up doing something like this, but it turned into a whole nother career for her. So it's a great story, and Melissa McCarthy is great. I mean, if you love her, and people love her, because those movies that I don't like the last few years, they all do well. I mean, they're made for $10 million, and they make
about... But that has a shelf life, that kind of
performance. Oh, yeah, it does.
And if you're not careful, I think you end up like a Chris Farley, where that's all anybody thinks
Seth Rogen.
You can do. Hey, yeah, hey, fall down, or raise your leg and tell somebody you're going to kick their ass. You know, and that's all she does. When she did St. Vincent with Bill Murray, I thought, hey, this is refreshing, because I agree. I saw she was in it, and I thought, oh, this is going to be over-the-top, Melissa McCarthy beats up the neighbor or something.
Yeah.
No, she was a sympathetic character and the mom of a young kid, and good. I'm glad she could pull this off, because I think it's necessary when you're... Look at John Goodman. John Goodman starts off, nobody ever heard of him. He's Roseanne's husband. It's a sitcom. He, in short order, jumped on board and did a couple of serious movies to prove to the world that I'm more than Roseanne's husband, or, you know, or the King. What was that movie where he, King Ralph?
Or even John Goodman. Big Lebowski, where he pretty much stole that film. He was in town this week at the St. Louis International Film Festival getting an award, and they screened Big Lebowski. You know, he started off as this sitcom supporting actor, and when he was given the chance, and look, filmmakers aren't lining up to give Melissa McCarthy a dramatic leading role. They're just not. But she proves that she can handle it in this movie, and it could give her, and I think at least, a Golden Globe and maybe even an Academy Award. I think she's that good, because I don't think people are going to see it coming. Even her fans who like her and stuff like Life of the Party, which came out this year, which was just terrible.
Bridesmaids, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Or even Tammy, where she played that lovable loser. It's just the same old thing. In this movie, they're going to have no idea that she was able to do this, and I think she's very good, and she carries the movie. So,
all right, it's called Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Can You Ever Forgive Me, which is the title of Lee Israel's memoir, which the movie is based on. And
all right, how many ARDs?
I give it a 3, just based on Melissa McCarthy.
All right, here they come.
All right, Dan. All right, Dan. All right, Dan.
There's another movie out about an author, Lee Jerusalem, but that's not as good.
Don't give him that. You know that ran through my head and I kicked it out. I kicked it out of my own brain because it was so corny and so easy. I didn't even do it. Who steps in and does it?
Me.
Dan
Lee
Strauss.
Jerusalem.
Yeah. Oh,
Jewish hater.
We have taken a turn.
Anything else, Mr. Buffa?
Well, as far as the movies, but now I know earlier this year when we discussed Ray Donovan, we got a little backlash. Can we discuss Ray, or is the audience
Rayed
out?
Yeah, Ray's a Showtime. It's a Showtime series. It's on Sunday nights. Real quickly, before we do that, though, do you know anything? And if you've talked about it, I'm sorry I didn't remember. I don't remember hearing you talk about it, because I want to see it as soon as it comes out. And that is, my goodness, Russell Crowe and Nicole Kidman. I've lost the name of it.
Yes,
already.
Boy Erased.
Boy Erased. That looks to me like it's going to be great.
I've watched it, and this is where I have to tiptoe around. I don't think there's an embargo on my review as far as discussing it. It comes out, I think, on the 21st or the 23rd. I know that's Thanksgiving week, but it does pack a punch. I'll tell you that much. Russell Crowe, who I don't know what he's been doing these past few years.
No, I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to take off like that was part of what you had planned today. I just wondered, have you seen it?
I have seen it, and I think you're going to like it. Let's put it that way.
Okay, that's it. We'll stop it right
Comes
there.
Comes out in 2 weeks.
Now, back to Ray.
Ray Donovan, second episode of, I want to say, is it the 7th season? Let me check on this. He's got 6 seasons. And I was telling Tim this before we came on. There's a scene, Frank, in this last week and Sunday's episode where I just think it's the epitome of this show. If you wanted to go, okay, sell me on this series in one scene, Ray Donovan, ladies and gentlemen, is at the hardware store, and he gets 2 phone calls. The first call he gets is from his daughter saying that she's engaged, and instead of being just excited, he just goes, sure, honey, yeah, I'm excited.
No, sure.
Yeah, or no, it was actually a drawn-out sure. He's like, sure. Yeah. But and then he gets a call from his brother Bunchy, and his dad, who was in prison, had a heart attack. And it's another long pause followed by a, okay, I gotta go. And by the way, he's at the hardware store to get supplies to clean up a body. That is
no,
one
episode. Ray is a guy. Ray is a guy who
that's
juggles.
The series.
You or I would just go.
We freak out
off a bridge. We'd kill ourselves because nobody can handle the stress that Ray is under. But he does. Even when he's been beaten to a pulp and he's got broken ribs, he's barely able to walk, he goes out and cuts up a body and hides it. He's,
yeah,
for those who don't know, he's a fixer. He's a guy, you know, you get in trouble and you want something covered up, you call
Ray.
He's
a ghost.
He charges a lot of money, but he'll get it covered up and he'll fix it. He'll make it go away.
And the best part of that scene was that he's actually going through the hardware store and he's buying a saw and he's buying another kind of saw and he's buying some lye and he's buying all this other stuff. And he walks up to the counter and the guy goes, Jesus, what are you doing? Hacking up a body? Like the guy called out right there at the hardware store counter.
And the look he gives him is kind of like,
and he walked out.
No.
Remember, he walked out
he
and
does.
Left the supplies there.
Because you know why, Tim? Because he can just go, I'm going to do this a different way because I'm Ray Donovan and I never freak out. I swear, Liev Schreiber has one expression on that show. It's just...
But when the guy
it's pain, it's muted rotting. Pain. That's his expression.
The brilliance of the writing there is that once that scene occurred, where the counter clerk at the hardware store called him out, "What are you doing, hacking up a body?" He just like walked out of the store and left the stuff there. And then all of a sudden, he just concocts this. Well, I'm just going to stage this double shooting instead of hacking up this body idea. You know, because of that. No.
And he also eliminates two problems. He helps out the cop, and he eliminates the problem for the candidate for mayor, who is basically being put into the office by Susan Sarandon. He's fixing a problem for the next mayor. I mean, this is just, you know, he's walking around in this outfit for like 2 weeks. He doesn't change. He's got the sweatshirt on and the hoodie, and he looks all disheveled. He hasn't shaved in probably months. And
I'd like to say this to all the people who are interested but have never. This is not, to me, a series you can jump in on now. You have to go back and get the first series and take it from the beginning because you have to get to know the Donovan family. You have to get to know Ray's dad, played by John Voight, brilliantly. It's great casting and great characters, but you're not going to jump in here now
and
appreciate it.
This series came on June 18th of 2013. That's how long it's been on the air. I mean, it's just a consistent thing. And I don't think it's a great series, but man, Liev, and I guess the restraint he does put it in that role, it makes you want to keep following this guy because apparently he went to New York to try to escape his problems, but guess what happened? He ran right into him again. He's fixing stuff, he's getting rid of bodies, and he's, you know, showing about as much excitement as nobody could when your daughter's getting engaged. I don't know.
The only thing that keeps it from being great to me is too often it has slow patches.
It does.
It slows down.
And for
and
me,
you won't rate it. Let's go, Ray. Kill somebody.
And for me, I'm getting tired of Bunchy. I mean, Dash Mihok, who plays the actor, plays the role, he's just kind of a whiny, mopey person. Hey, Ray.
He needs to go.
I'm a problem child that's going to cause you a bunch of problems. I think we need to kill him off this season. We need to get rid of him. Writers,
I think they need to have Ray whack his own brother.
That would be a show-turning twist, but definitely need something like that. I don't know. There are stretches, I agree, where it just kind of goes on. And again, maybe that gets back to the idea of there shouldn't be 13 episodes. There should be about maybe 8 or 9. But
what else on TV?
I don't know if any of you know the name Ronnie Coleman. Back in the late 90s, he was a Mr. Olympia bodybuilder. 8-time bodybuilder, and there's a documentary on Netflix about him and what he's going through today. He's now in his 50s. I mean, he won it 8 times. I mean, this is a record. This guy, he's one of those guys that's on the front of those magazines, looks all ripped up. He won it in 98, I think, and he won it for 8 straight years. And the series picks
up. What's the name of the documentary?
It's called Ronnie Coleman, the King. Because when it comes to the bodybuilding world in the late 90s and into the early 2000s, up until 2006, he was the guy. Ronnie Coleman, he's a beast. And look, and today he's in great shape, except for the fact that he has had hip surgeries, back surgeries. He can barely walk without crutches. That's the series shows you what he did back in the day 20 years ago, but it also shows you the condition he's in now.
And see, that bodybuilding thing to me, that looks like more than a full-time job. I mean, that's from the minute you get up and what you eat or don't eat and how much exercise, and how much in the gym and steroids and whatever, it never stops.
And the great thing was he was a cop for 12 years. Like, but when he started doing bodybuilding, he had been a cop and he kept that job while he did bodybuilding.
Takes me like 7 hours a day. It's tough work.
This guy, he squatted 800. In one scene, he squats 800 pounds.
Ooh. I squat every morning. As soon as I get up, I squat.
A permanent
like
squat.
Like clockwork. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All I have to have is a cup of coffee and a cigarette.
There we go.
You know what? I've heard that before. I've heard that before, though. Seriously, a coffee and a cigarette helps you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The coffee, but I don't know about the cigarette. I don't understand the cigarette. The coffee, of course, but... Yeah.
Well, this is getting a little bit personal here, but when I hear things like irregularities, I absolutely cannot relate to that. I'm going to tell you right now, when I wake up within 10 minutes, I'm dropping the Browns off at the pool. It's every morning. And that's it. And I'm good to go. I'm done for the day. At least with that, I got other issues.
Well, you see, this daylight savings time is really messing with my bowel movement schedule because normally, right, I'd go about 6:30 or so, right?
Oh, you going to bed now?
Well, when I get home, right, normally about like 6:30 in the evening. Now it's like 5:30, so my body is telling me, "Hey, buddy, you know, I mean, we've got an appointment here." Yeah. And Frank's telling me, "All right, let's get ready for Mike Evans."
Breaking news! You got to play the breaking news theme.
So hold on. You're telling us ever since the time changed last week that when Mike Evans comes on, you need to poop?
By the time I'm hearing Mike Evans, I am like, I am clenching.
It's brought to you by...
There's a turtle head.
It's a British thing.
I'm prairie dogging.
It's a British thing. I think British people can only poop while it's light outside.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Man, anti-vampires.
How did we get on that? What happened here?
I want to say the squatting. The squatting that Ronnie Coleman did in his career.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's Ronnie Coleman's fault.
By the way, without one of those awards, now you've led us to a five-minute discussion about bowel movements. Thanks, Ronnie. But it is on Netflix. It is new. I found it to be enlightening because I didn't know a lot about that life, what it took, and the price it takes for these guys to engage in this. I mean, to do it for a living, it's a full-time job.
Do you not think there's something kind of wrong with people who are that into rippled muscles? It looks deformed to me. Do you ever see these bodybuilder women?
Oh,
they look
yeah.
deformed. That's not hot to me.
No, it's not. And it's funny that they lift all this weight, and it's not a lifting competition. All they're going to do is get on a stage and flex. They put all this oil on themselves, and then it's like they have to tear their bodies down. He goes to see a doctor in this Netflix documentary, and they ask him, "Would you tell him to stop lifting?" He goes, "I would have told him to stop lifting 10 years ago." I mean, what he's done, the damage he's done to his spine and his back, that's where it gets its powerful nature from, is where it tells you the effect of Ronnie Coleman's
lifting. You know what? I'll watch this. Give us the name again.
Ronnie Coleman, the King. And it should be on, like, you know, where new releases on your Netflix.
Coleman, like the camping stuff, C-O-L-E-M-A-N?
Ronnie Coleman.
But the real reason why we don't like women bodybuilders is because they lose their boobs. I mean, let's be honest. They look like bags of gravy out of a banquet, TV dinner.
Sometimes that's true.
I mean, I'm not saying a protein shake after sex is weird, but man, she might beat you up.
Well, you know,
she's tough.
I don't know. The deformity is the only word I can use because it's a deformed look to me.
Even the guys don't look right.
It's like you got tumors where these muscles, some of them are.
I mean, Tim can bring up a picture of Ronnie Coleman in his heyday, and they're just, he doesn't look right. He's got muscles on top of muscles. He's got a shoulder on top of his shoulder. It just doesn't look right. I don't want to look that way. I mean, look, I go to the gym, and I'm in good shape, but I don't want to look. If you say, "Dan, we'll turn you into Ronnie Coleman in 2 weeks," I go, "No, I don't want to look that way. I'm fine."
I've said that for years. I do not want to look good. I do not want to look.
I don't know if that's good.
I'm in good shape. And buddy, I've mastered it.
Oh man,
I have a mission accomplished.
Okay, there is a little bit of movie news I want to get to, and this scares me. It might scare Limey as well, because he's a comic book fan like I am. But the success of Venom may stop Spider-Man rights returning to Marvel, as Sony is now trying to get a stranglehold on now Spider-Man, it went to Marvel for, I want to say, a total of four movies. Limey, check me on that. You got Civil War.
Captain America, Civil War. You had Spider-Man Homecoming.
Avengers Infinity War.
And
a Spider-Man sequel.
And then the Spider-Man Far From Home, which is in
coming up July.
In pre-production. Yeah. So, yeah, four.
Four movies. And now Sony, which originally had the rights and kind of lent the rights to, they lent merchandise rights to Marvel.
They basically said, all right, you can have the rights and use them in the script, but we get all the merchandise.
Yeah, we got all the merchandise.
The toys, posters, pictures, stuff like that.
But now Venom has blown up. I didn't like the movie, but you know what? It's held up. It's made a lot of money internationally, and Tom Hardy signed up for three Venom movies.
Wow.
And I will say that as much as I don't like it going back to Sony, I'd love to see Tom Holland go up against Tom Hardy. I mean, a couple fine British actors, hopefully with a better script. But yeah, the news of the day for Marvel fans is that Spider-Man could be going away back to Sony, which, again, I feel mixed up about. I like what Marvel did with Spider-Man, but I also understand that if something's doing really well, I mean, this is a business move. I mean, you don't let it go away. So that's the movie news of the day.
When you were a kid and somebody said something they thought was funny, like Dan would be a good example. He thought it was funny, but nobody else did. Did you ever do this? Hardy, har, har, har. What does that mean?
I don't know, but I have
Hardy,
done it.
Hardy, har, har.
I have done it, but, you know, I was listening in the first hour, and Tim Woodburn tracked down the meaning behind 420.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, that was impressive. I had no idea what that meant. I'm telling you. So, yeah, I do use the Hardy Har Har from time to time. And if they are in a movie together, that's going to be hard not to do. Tom Hardy and Tom Holland, here we go.
Hardy Har Har was a Hanna-Barbera character.
Okay.
It was a cartoon character before it was anything.
There it is.
The character's name was Hardy Har Har.
Look it up now. It has its own Wikipedia page, of course. Lippy the Lion and Hardy Har Har are a pair of anthropomorphic Hanna-Barbera cartoon characters.
I was thinking they were anthropomorphic.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
I have a question. Does Limey have his own Wikipedia page?
I do not.
Everybody has their own. I thought everybody did.
No, they don't. I don't have one.
I'm not sure yet. Frank Opinion not has yet. Got a Wikipedia.
No, I'm sure you
no,
do.
No, I do not. I'm telling you right
he
now.
He doesn't?
I'm telling you, we'll I
make one.
No. Frank Opinion? Now, wait a minute. How long have you been doing radio for? First radio show.
Years, but you've got to reach a certain level to get a Wikipedia page. I've never reached that level. No,
well,
I'm serious.
Well, that's all I got. Two movie reviews, a Netflix review, and some news. That's all I got this week. But Tim's got some. What do you got, Tim?
Oh, Hardy Har Har. Har Har Hardy Har Har. It was a big Ralph Cramden thing with Jackie Gleason.
There it is. Jackie Gleason.
Har Har Hardy Har Har.
That's going
to
be the voiceover of the first
somewhere.
Trailer.
It had to come from somewhere.
From Hardy Har Har, who was a hyena on a Hanna-Barbera cartoon character when Bugs Bunny all that first started being made, which predated Ralph Cramden.
There it is. That's it. Tom Hardy and Tom Holland in a movie together, probably in 2021. Or let's hope not. I really hope Marvel finds a way to keep Spider-Man in their rights, and at least for the movies. I don't care when it comes to the action figures. But that's all I got. Bohemian Rhapsody, thumbs up, I'll say. 3 out of 4. And then Can You Ever Forgive Me? Melissa McCarthy can act, ladies and gentlemen. Go watch it. Ronnie Coleman, The King on Netflix. Ray Donovan on Sunday nights. Spider-Man writes up in the air. Until next week, I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Dan Buffa, courtesy of Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States and the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. If you want to know more, you go to windowworldstlouis.com and find out about this terrific product that I would think most everybody at some point is going to need. You're going to have to, you know, windows don't last forever. They just don't. Anybody else have anything we haven't covered that we should cover before we roll into the Playhouse Hour, which I can't believe that we're there already? Are the political ads still running? When do they shut
they
that
are,
off, by the
I
way?
Think,
what's the official time to stop running that crap?
What is it?
Right up to 7 o'clock.
Yeah, 7 p.m., yeah. And I think that, like, the rates for today, something stupid, like $130,000 on,
I'll
like,
bet you they run
TV.
Them up to 5 or 6 o'clock. I'm not kidding.
Guarantee you, of course.
For the people who are out there late.
Well, you know,
and I kind of do get what Tim said earlier, though. I think it's rude, and we didn't ask him. He volunteered. I do think it's rude. So, folks, don't go asking people, did you vote today? It's none of your business. But when he said he got there and the lines were long and he had lots of stuff he had to do,
he didn't anticipate that it would take that long. And I kind of, to me, you kind of get a pass on that if that's the reason you didn't vote. You can't spend all day doing it. You know, some people get in and out, and some people have a wait they didn't see coming. So,
well, you know, they're voting
you're good.
Thank you. They're voting on three different medical marijuana bills today in Missouri. And my father's funeral was in two Fridays ago. And so I have two siblings that live in Colorado, and one lives in Washington, where marijuana is legal in both of those states. And they were telling me what life is like out there with it being legalized. Like, there's like food trucks on the street where everything in the truck is made from marijuana. The ketchup, the mayonnaise, the bread, the everything. My sister said she uses marijuana-infused shampoo to wash her hair with, and that's how that she's able to get that into her system. Is with, you don't have to smoke it. You just rub it into your head with the shampoo. It's unbelievable.
No, it's a huge...
It's a whole different lifestyle.
I take, I take CBD, CBD pill every single day.
My wife to put CBD under her tongue.
Yeah.
And by the way, you don't have to live in one of those states to do the CBD oil as long as it's not THC.
Yeah.
CBD in itself is not illegal. It's the THC they're trying to keep away from you, unless you're in a state where it's legal. And she, a friend who lives in another state, sends it. And the first time she tried it, she was reluctant to try it. I don't want to get stoned. And this person said no, because they knew she'd had three spinal fusions. She's got a cage around part of her spine. She's got 12 titanium screws in her spine. And she's in pain a lot. And she put this stuff, just dropped like three drops under her tongue. And she said, it's fantastic. And you don't have to take... you know, Oxycontin or whatever. You don't have to smoke. She can't smoke. She cannot inhale. She's never smoked a cigarette. She doesn't know how.
It's the most fascinating measure, though, on the ballot today, because I'm wondering if people's mentality, who are going to vote for it, do I vote for all three and hope the one, or do I vote for my favorite one and no against the other two because I really like this one? It's a
part of it too is the wording is confusing. You may be voting for one thing and you think you're voting for something when you're voting the exact opposite. Right. They're masters at that, man.
And
wording
I'll say,
it so that it tricks you.
I'll say I did some research on them, and I've talked to several people that did research on them as well. And number two, was it Proposition 2? Proposition 2 is the best. The first one and the third one are not so much, and they're taxed more.
Okay, but apparently. Do you vote if you like two, though? Do you vote for all three of them?
No.
In case people don't like
no,
them?
Because... No.
So you vote yes on one and no on the other two?
Yeah, because really? It'll cancel things out, yeah.
And I'm wondering if they're all canceling
that's where
each
we run
out.
Into... Yeah. See, most people don't know that. And how about the judges? How many people do you think know anything about
Nobody.
Any of these judges?
I was asked about all of the judges today. Like, do I want this judge ousted? Do I want that judge ousted? I had no idea who they are or what district they're from.
I heard one commercial yesterday that said, and don't forget about the judges. And you can go to somethingsomething.org and read about the judges. That was the only commercial
I've ever
heard.
Well, it would take forever. There's like 25 of them on there.
I know.
It'd take you a week to read that. We got to take a break. We got to go. Time got away from us. We got to get to the playoffs. You know how that Mike Evans is. If he gets cut short, he's got a temper. I got a great email I'd like to share with you from a listener who went to Ballast Dental Care at Limey. You'll be able to relate to this. He says, and he copied this to... I forwarded on to Ballast Dental Care. He said, Frank, this is long overdue, but I have to share this story with you. I was one of those people who had bad experiences with dentists when I was a child. Checkups, fillings, any work was painful, created a fear from childhood that went well into adulthood. And then I'm gonna make this short. It's a long letter. He says, years and years went by. I've never really had any real issues, so I just kept putting off going to the dentist. But I know that, you know, I'm kidding myself. It's not a good idea. He said, I'd hear you talk about Ballast Dental Care, and I actually thought it was a made-up name, Dr. Watanabe. It was a joke that was part of your show. And then I realized it was a real place. He said, so I made an appointment. The first thing I noticed was they didn't have that dental office smell. He says, I met with Dr. Watanabe and one of his assistants, and they kept reassuring me about this and this. And he said, it's a mild form of sedation. They did all the necessary cleaning. And he just goes on. He says, my wife still cannot believe that I have not missed an appointment. And this day he's talking about when he discovered Ballast Dental Care, he tells me now, was 10 years ago. And he's been a patient ever since. He just never bothered to share it with us. Well, Rick, thank you for sharing this story. And even 10 years later, the fact that you're going twice a year
without being prompted by your wife to go is a great testament in itself. So another happy Ballast Dental Care patient. They're at the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com. My goodness, I can't believe it. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is TJ Moe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Phil Hewlett. Give yourself plenty of time to vote in today's midterm elections as lines are long. In Arizona, Maricopa County Recorder Adrian Fontes says that's because so many people are voting today.
As of 9:50, we've got 86,000 plus